C.
I.
What'd you say?
I. Capri.
Oh, that's good. All right.
M.
Z. Zoom.
Oh, hey. There you go. Okay. All right.
D.
Dip.
Oh, we were close.
We were close. That was close. Okay. All right.
R. T.
Timber toad. Oh, no, that isn't it. Oh, I was so clever. I thought I was being clever, too. Tiger.
D.
S.
Sad.
Yeah. Welcome to Zero Days Since. This is a podcast where two founders journal their story of building a wooden purse brand, and we have fun doing it. My name's Jason, and I'm a woodworker.
And I am Chelsea, and I'm a designer.
I was thinking about this as we were walking over and kind of getting ready. I'm like, look at my shirt, right? Uh-huh. And I got my hat or whatever. And then I'm like, you can tell who's the designer.
Yeah.
Out of the two of us.
This outfit was last minute. You were witness to that.
Yeah.
I had a completely different outfit to wear today. But Scarlett and I were doing like a little styling video for Timber Tote, ironically enough. But, and then I was like, where's that one dress? Turns out it was the last one left and it was on the mannequin. And I was like, well, I'm gonna go see what size it is. And then I put it on and I was like, I don't wanna take it off. I'm taking it home.
I'm like prying around the corner. I'm like,
so
I'm like, yeah, you should wear that for the podcast.
Shout out Desert Mariposa.
Hey, looks good.
Yeah.
I was always told the dress doesn't make you look good. You make the dress look.
Yeah.
That's like, like a real gentleman.
Or it can go the other way around where the dress looks better on the hanger.
Or on the floor. All right. Well, do you want to get into
the spicy author here?
We'll get into that. Drinks. So, okay. Because this one's fun. Usually I'm involved. And so you wanted to surprise me.
This was like a me thing. And this was supposed to be something completely different. But, and I kind of had to improvise. I had to improvise. So, Rachel from Ray Ray's had run into Scarlett, like maybe like last week they ran into each other, I think at St. Philip's Plaza or somewhere. And they got to talking and Rachel was like, oh my God, here, let me give this to you. It's like the new flavor. She's already selling out of it. Like it's already almost gone. Like you can't, you almost cannot get it.
Sure.
And so she gave Scarlett like a little 4-pack of it and it's called Tamarind Spice. And she gave it to Scarlett specifically. And she's like, you have to mix this with whiskey. Cause like, she knows that we drink whiskey. And
this
she's like,
awesome.
I know. She's like, mix it with whiskey. It's delicious. And cause she knows we drink whiskey. So she gave it to Scarlett. Scarlett comes home with it. She's like, I ran into Rachel. She gave me this new Ray Ray's flavor. It was so good. So we had two left in the refrigerator.
And did you guys tear into them?
Well, I didn't.
Gav did?
No.
No?
Scarlett drank them both. So I was like, I went
into the point was for this.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, it was
the point was not for this. She just ran into Scarlett and was like, hey, I have this on me. It's the new flavor. Take it home. Try it.
That's
so, but I knew we had two in the fridge. And so I was like, the other drink that I wanted didn't totally work out. So so I was like, oh no, I have the new Ray Ray's flavor. I'll bring that. Bring some whiskey. It's perfect. And so then I go to the refrigerator and I was like, Scarlett, where's those last two tamarind spice? She goes, I think I drank them. And I was like, cool. So I text Rachel and I was like, hey, like, is it still available like anywhere? And she's like, yeah. I was like, can I get it at Brick Box? So then I was going to go by Brick Box. I went by Brick Box this morning. They don't open till 4. So I was like, okay, all right, I got to figure it out. I got to figure it out because I told him I had it handled. I was so excited. I was so confident.
Yeah, you were. Because I was even like, should we talk about it? And you're like,
nope.
I got it.
So
I'm like, oh, surprise. Like, okay. I'm like, oh, I kind of love that for us.
I know we have prickly pear in the fridge.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I can't just like let it be prickly pear because we've done that before.
Done that.
So I was like, okay, well, if we can mix tamarind spice with whiskey and it's delicious. I don't normally think of mixing Ray Ray's with anything because it's delicious on its own, right? So I was like, well, prickly pear would probably be good with tequila. So we're drinking tequila today.
Okay. Woo. Okay.
We're drinking tequila. I haven't eaten. So this is going to be, I'm on my little lymphatic drops.
Okay.
So I'm hyper. It's going to be interesting.
You're hyper. We're drinking tequila. I get squirrely with tequila.
So I'm going to have you open the tequila because I always open it. And I got Euphoria. I liked the name.
Okay.
I thought it was cute.
Sure.
So I don't know if it's good. I don't know
you're
anything
so funny
about.
Because it's like.
Oh, I don't know anything about.
That's cute.
I don't know.
I'm
anything.
Like, what does that have?
It's like buying. I buy wine for the label. I don't know anything about it. I know whiskey. I don't know wine. Okay.
And then I got us
So. Very cool.
They still have the stickers on the bottom because they couldn't.
So this is interesting, though. Did you didn't actually talk to Rachel about this specifically, did you?
No.
Oh, so this might be like something totally new.
I did tell her last night, like when I was texting her, trying to see if I could get more of the tamarind. And I was like, I'm trying to use it on the podcast. And she was like, hell yeah.
But you didn't talk about the tequila and the prickly pear.
No.
All right, well.
This was a today thing.
Rachel, if you if this gets shot out over to you and this ends up becoming a thing, then we'll call it the Timber Tote.
Also, we're adding...
0 days since we made a new drink.
We're adding tajin on the rim because...
Oh, this?
Yeah, yes. So one of the girls at the Monica showed this to me, and I've never drank in Ray Ray's without it ever since because it just enhances everything. It's so good. Tajin on everything, especially Ray Ray's.
There you go. Okay. Well, this can
glasses set up if you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Entertain.
Well, I can introduce the episode too, because this one is 0 days since we called an attorney.
Dun dun dun.
Yeah. So and then we're having tequila to go with this thing. So
yeah.
No, but I thought it would be. This was a topping I think that we thought would be fun to talk about for a number of reasons, and I think it's a more. Around the legality side of entrepreneurship, also partnership. But then I think one of the questions that we get often is...
I have no idea if this is how you're supposed to do it.
It's not. It'll work.
It won't work.
Yeah. You're supposed to use something sticky like lime juice or something.
Not water?
No, you can probably maybe take some of the Ray Rays.
What do I do?
Just sprinkle it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just call it a day. Where's Drew? I mean, we need like a bartender, right? Yeah, so...
Why don't you let me bartend?
So the legality side of all this stuff, especially since we have kind of a unique situation where we're not married, partnerships as well. So there are... Oh my goodness gracious. So there are some things about entrepreneurship that you can do as a solopreneur or like in my case, on the woodworking side... because I'm married, you know, we can run the business and there's some different things that I don't have to do. But when we run the Timber Tote, we have to do different things. So I thought we'd chat about all that.
Okay.
That poured out just right.
It did. That was perfect. I want to point out, I don't drink tequila.
No.
I have not drank tequila since my 22nd birthday and I almost died.
That so is a bold move pulling this out today.
Gonna be interesting.
Here do we need you to sign like a waiver?
No. We just need to make sure I'm nowhere near the cow pony.
Oh yeah.
There's a picture of me. I don't know if you can hear. There's a picture of me floating around somewhere. I can't find it.
Yeah.
I found it a couple years ago, but I haven't been able to find it since. There's a picture of me standing on top of the bar of the cow pony, the shot glass in my hand, and a shirt that says "Party On." For my 22nd birthday.
Makes sense. Okay.
They got the bar to sing happy birthday to me.
Oh.
And then cute. My dad told me that he was proud of me because I was the first Adler in like 20 years to get on top of a bar or something like that. And
okay.
I was like, that's a thing to be proud of, I guess. And then the next picture that got posted of me was me passed out on the bathroom floor.
Oh, God.
And
That was your 22nd?
That was my 22nd birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My 21st. This would have been my 21st, not my 22nd, but that's fine. We were at a Contiki, and so we did the power hour, went there, and tore into some scorpions. And
the scorpion bowls?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And those were, that was rough. I didn't last very long. Let's just say it that way. All right.
I am a designer, not a bartender.
You look like it, which is a compliment. Mm-hmm. Cheers. Clink.
Clink. Oh my God, I actually love it.
That is good.
That is good, actually.
Yeah, it's like a prickly pear margarita.
I can't.
I don't know why I didn't put that together.
I can taste the tequila, but it's not like freaking me out.
No, it's like a margarita. That's what I'm kind of picking up on.
It's really refreshing.
Hmm.
Okay. All right, confirmed.
So, I was saying prickly the pear. Other question that we get often is just in regards to like, how do you guys make them?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people talk about, you should patent this.
Yes.
So
that's always a question.
Yeah. So I figured we'll kind of talk through those things today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The patent licensing.
Yep.
Artists.
Artists, yeah, the contractual stuff there, yeah, and just
even like, the U of A.
Yeah, just legal stuff that you kind of got to think about being in the entrepreneurship world. So.
And as a designer, or if you're in any kind of creative field, intellectual property is such a huge topic of discussion all the time.
Yeah.
So, okay. At the start of every episode, I have a quote.
Yes.
And I did not, I don't have one like that I need to look up, because this is just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
When I was in college, I had a teacher who always said that, like when somebody copies you, you want people to copy you, because it's like the highest form of flattery. And like, I've heard that other places too, that, you know, copycats are the highest form of flattery.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be stolen from.
That's true. There's a difference between imitation and robbery.
Yes.
Fair enough.
So, you know, it's easy to feel slighted when you see something that is so similar to a product that you've created yourself. It's easy to feel like, well, that's mine. Sure. Why is someone else getting credit for it? But copycat is the highest form of flattery. And
you know,
when you're the original, no one's going to do it like you. And you say that all the time, too, is that even if people copy us, we've gone through so much to figure out the right way to do this that, like,
we're just so far ahead of them to have them catch up with us. The idea is that we're out there already. So, yeah, and I guess, so let's dive a little bit into that, the IP side of it, or the patent portion. Because we've talked about it before during the pitch competitions, during Moonshot, what would we have used the money for in the winnings? We were talking about, you know, talking to an attorney about this. And when we really got down to it, we were thinking, well, what part of it would be patentable? Because you can't copyright, you can't patent a purse.
Right.
You can't patent even the living hinge, the woodworking technique where it cuts those lines, that isn't even patentable. So we really were, I had chatted with an attorney at one point, and it was just like, what would be? And what they did say was that the process in which we use to adhere the fabric to the wood, that could be the patentable portion. So we were like, okay, well, what would that take? And so this was, you were talking about it, I think last time about, or a couple of podcasts ago about when we were robbed doing these pitch competitions, the relationships that we made. So there was one guy that worked at the U of A or in Raytheon, and he actually had patented some stuff. And he was like, listen, man, he goes, if you were to go down this route, it's, you got to go all the way. Because as soon as you say what it is, it becomes known to the world. Like, public now knowledge. The world knows. Unless you go all the way and actually get the patent, people will be able to pick up on it.
Right.
Even if you run out of funds or if it doesn't work, you've let the world know. So do you have the resources? Do you have, I mean, is this something you really want to go after? And it was like 20 grand. And he was like, I don't even know if that's actually going to get you there. Right. So we were just like, okay, is that the best use of those dollars? Or what we decided to do is just keep it a trade secret and then use those funds to really kind of say, okay, let's go ahead and use this to market ourselves, scale ourselves, invest in the business, and then get out in front. And this goes back to what you were saying, like, because if you were to take a look at those things, I think someone could figure out how to make them, right? But we're already a couple of years into this thing. We're in our third year. Plus, there's all these little nuances along the way to really make them exactly like how we do, well, that we had to learn along the way.
That, and then like the piece of the puzzle that we were even looking at patenting, I'm researching to change.
Yeah, we're looking at changing that.
So, like I want.
So we would have spent 20 grand on having that.
Yeah.
That we would eventually change anyway. So what do you? Now you got to patent that thing too? And it's like, oh my God, what?
Well, each iteration? And then there's like a time limit on the patent, right? For like there's a ticking clock from like the point of like birth of the idea or whatever to the point that you're allowed to patent it anymore. So you're on a time crunch. It's expensive.
Yeah.
And is it just the best use of time and funds? If you have it and you have an idea that is worth something.
Sure.
You know, but we just didn't find it to be that. And it is a question that we get asked a lot, and it could it raise the value in the long run of the brand itself, the business? Sure. But I don't know.
I've told you this before too, but I'm like, I think if we were to get serious and go on Shark Tank And if we actually wanted to make a deal, I think there would have to be two things. Number one is some kind of like protection of the process and sales.
Right.
You know, so I think once we get through Fashion Week, I think we'd have the resume to, I think, get through some of the process.
Yeah.
But I think at the end of the day, if we even got that far, I think the shark still at the end of the day would say, what's protecting this? And we'd be like, well, we don't have anything. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'd make a deal, which for me, I would want to go on Shark Tank, not for the deal, but just to get to that point. I think that would be my burning desire.
Yeah.
Not to get the deal, but to make it like
well, that's on the stage deal. And do we the pitch. We go to New York Fashion Week and then we can do Shark Tank.
There you go, right? But I think still, but at the end of the day, that's where we say like, if we get that far though, I guess we can always look for an angel investor or something like that.
Yeah.
And just kind of say like, is the juice worth the squeeze at that point?
Right. Yeah.
So that's on the IP, I guess, side of it.
Yeah.
The partnership. Do you want to talk some of that next?
Sure.
Yeah. So I think
that was interesting.
Yeah, so I think this is...
Have we told the story about the life insurance thing?
We did, but we tell it again,
So my partnership with Scarlett professionally started almost exactly at the same time that my partnership with you started. Like officially on paper, pen to paper, like the partnerships began around the same exact time. And I remember when I was moving Willow's Bazaar into Desert Mariposa and merging that, I had talked to Scarlett and I had said, so do you like, should we start looking at like life insurance policies on each other? And now this was a completely normal question to me because I have grown up with a father in the industry and I grew up around it. I worked in his office for years before I opened my store. And so like,
I'm laughing because
I've been in the,
because I do the finance side as well. So it's very familiar to me. So I'm like, this is a natural conversation.
No, it seemed like a totally normal conversation. And I have my like insurance license, like I'm licensed and you know, all this stuff. And so it seemed like a very normal conversation. She looked at me, she's like, do you plan on killing me? Yeah. I was like, no, this is a thing. Business partners get life insurance on each other. And she's like, no, I don't want life insurance on you. And so then weeks later, like that was just a funny conversation. And then weeks later, you brought it up to me. Sure. And I was like, see, this is totally
this is normal. A thing. I know. So it's called a buy-sell agreement, you know? So if one of the partners passes away, and that makes sense in our situation. Mm-hmm. Well, even in yours and Scarlett's, you know, at some point. But for you and I specifically, this is where a partnership, when you don't have a married, you know, a partnership, it becomes very unique because if I was to pass away, you and I own 50% of the company.
Right.
So if I pass away, the question then is who gets my 50%? Mm-hmm. Well, by common state law that we have here, community property, Marielle immediately is 50% owner. She has no interest in the company itself.
I know. Even if I want to be her partner.
Yeah. You know, but she was like, I've got my own career. Like, what would what would I do? I don't want to do part of this, you know? So, but even let's say if it just continues, say you pick up the slack and you find another me, which I don't know how you do it, but I'm just saying, if you were, then what ends up happening though, is all of a sudden you start working really hard and all the profits actually go to her.
Right.
Because she's half owner, you know? So that buy-sell agreement with the life insurance is where if I pass away, all of a sudden, you know, what is it? The money comes into the business, but immediately there's a contract written where you as the surviving founding member then have to execute the money to buy Marielle out.
Right.
So then you now retain 100% of the shares or you redeem my shares that she now inherited. And now you have 100% of the remaining shares.
But that insurance policy covers that.
That's what it's meant for. Correct. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so that's kind of the idea behind it. So where that's like, if it was me and Marielle running this, that's really irrelevant because there's no issue with the ownership of the shares because we have community property anyways.
Right.
So that's one of those nuances that we run into.
Yeah.
Checking account.
Yeah.
That's the other thing too.
Getting like, a checking account.
Yeah, so like, you know, with married couples. Or adding
the savings account. That was a whole thing.
That's a whole. That was just a whole thing.
That was an internal problem.
Yeah, that was on the bank.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Not us. We did all of our stuff.
They forgot about us.
Yeah.
We got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. You know, but as we started to launch this thing, and we were buying material.
Yeah.
It was one, and then people were buying them.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, what do we do with the revenue? What is it coming?
Where is it going?
Board Class Customs, yeah. or was it going through Desert Mariposa? And right. we were just like, well, then how do we buy more material mm-hmm. to build more? And so it, again, when you have a couple that's married, you can just kind of commingle things for right. a little bit. And that's okay just to really say, like, is this actually going to launch? But very quickly, we had to say, like, we have to get an account.
We had to make a decision.
Because there had to be a clear separation, because commingling funds when you're not,
yeah.
you know, which doing the same tax returns,
it was
that throws
a,
everything off.
Like, a kick in the butt at the time, because we had not started this to start a business.
No.
We had done this to pass the time.
Yeah.
Because it was slow during the summer.
Do you think
and
we could
we were
do this?
Occupying the
That's
same space.
It's going
to be fun. And then it just took off. And so we had to make these decisions so fast. And whilst honestly still getting to know each other as people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I don't know. I have no regrets yet.
Yeah. No regrets. That was classic.
So luckily yeah. we like each other.
But yeah, I mean, that was one of those. But then our minds got into this, got ahead of us because we yeah. got excited about, hey, what else could we do? And it's like, hey, you know, there's these stains out there. I was like, we could do different it's colors. And then you got fired up. You're like,
yeah, because well, I like the name of the well, brand. It was so fun. And they have sparkles.
I know, right? So I was like, oh, we could do this. We could mix the colors and this. And you're like, well, bring me some of those.
Hell yeah, brother.
So I brought you some of those. And then you made them. And yeah. I was like, well, that's cool. And then people were like, that is cool. Mm-hmm. Can I buy them? We're like, oh, I don't even know what to price them at.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Yeah, very quickly then we had to get yeah. a business account going just to have operational stuff. And then mm-hmm. it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah.
All right. And so then the last one is really kind of these collaborations with yeah.
Which
artists
can get
specifically.
Messy and a lot to keep track of. Especially when, I mean, we are still kind of taking it case by case on like whether or not we are licensing the art, whether we are strictly wholesale with the artist, whether we are commission based. And so it's kind of a case to case thing, which is working now because we're still operating on a pretty small scale.
Yeah, I think we're also, we have the foresight. I think we've done a good job of thinking ahead.
Yeah.
And saying, okay, this is, I think, one of the two options to give them versus letting the artist kind of, you know, suggest other things.
Yes. But I do like the different things because it, I think it opens up to artists of all scale. You know, if they're yeah. not at the point of being able to purchase an entire wholesale amount.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, we can do a commission based yeah. and then we get to sell it.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, we've got people like Andrea Rodriguez, who's going to order 40 at a time.
Yeah.
And that's awesome for us.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, I
well,
think
then it gives
really cool.
them a bigger nut, mm-hmm. but they take on the risk.
Right.
Where if they go with just a licensing agreement, we get a bigger nut, but we take on the risk. So, there isn't a right or wrong, which I like. There isn't a right or wrong. It's more of like, hey, which option fits you best?
Yeah. 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 Actually, like we have like a kind of one size fits all situation.
Yeah.
Or most. And like the risk thing, I think that like, yes, we're taking on the risk because we are carrying the load of selling it,
the
essentially.
Inventory, for sure.
But they're also made to order. So like.
Sort of. Try not to. It's just they're like, happening so fast. You
yeah.
know? But
so
yeah, that's the idea.
It's not like we're pumping out 100 and don't have anywhere to sell
sure.
them.
But this goes
we
back.
We control production.
Yeah.
So like. It's an easy thing for us to offer because we have the capability yeah. to offer it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Without it hurting 100%. Us in the long run.
Well, and the nice thing too is it's not necessarily an irrevocable decision either. So
correct.
Like
they
Enrique.
Can change their mind. Yeah.
Enrique's like, hey, I got these things. Let's make some and
yeah.
see what happens. And boom, like bunch sold last month. And mm-hmm. now he's coming back and he's like, huh, actually.
I'm ready to buy them myself.
Can I just go ahead and buy some? We're
yeah.
like, absolutely. You
yeah.
know? So there's
for
also
sure.
this fluidity.
Yeah.
That's a word that allows them to start mm-hmm. here and then go there.
Yeah.
Or just stay here or something.
Yeah. And I think I said it was either last episode or the episode before. I said it where having these contracts and these relationships with these artists, it gives us a new demographic to reach. And then it also gives them a new demographic to reach. So being able to offer our product to so many different artists with these different options is.
Yeah.
Really great because it just opens up the doors that maybe we necessarily wouldn't have gotten to.
Yeah, I agree. Now, we do have these kind of arrangements. However, a handshake agreement only goes so far.
Correct.
And as we've introduced more and more and more, I told you, I was like, I'm worried about remembering all of these different arrangements and who gets this and who said that.
Yeah.
So that's where I was like, hey, I got this great idea. So I was like, hey, Chelsea, what if we go to ChatGPT?
I was literally about to say, this is a good and proper use of ChatGPT. This is where I can be like, yeah, let's consult the AI bot. That's fine, because I don't want to write that.
You're okay with AI stepping in as an assistant.
Yeah, 100%. If we're going to use it creatively, no, thank you. However, in this case,
creative, it can write a pretty good 50-word book.
Writing up a... You know what? We should post our little comparison stories on Instagram and see who wins. We'll let people vote.
I don't know. Well, you won.
I did win a contest with it.
Yeah, honorable mention. Anyway.
So, anyway.
But you type in there, I asked what it wanted, and
building
it actually
a contract,
did a
track
great
of
job.
Things.
Yeah, got us like 90% of the way there. Yeah. And so I tweaked a couple of things.
I just, for the rodeo, like unrelated to Timbertoe, but for the rodeo, Scarlett and I took a friend of ours, Casim Manolo. We took a bunch of his product. He's from Sierra Vista.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We took a bunch of his product to the rodeo to sell for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came by the showroom and was dropping everything off, and we were going through everything that we were taking. And I was like, in my little notes app, like little, like, let me write it down on pen and paper, like a little old timey person. And he's like, ChatGPT, this is what we're taking. He was talking to it like a person. It was tripping me out because I don't use it. I don't like, it's not something I ever really like look into or use. So like, I've never really put myself in a position where like outside of like the few times I've seen you do it, I've never seen anybody like genuinely interacting with it.
Yeah.
And he was like talking to it like a person. And there was like one piece where it was like different, like it was like one keychain and we kept finding more of it in the box. And he's like, wait, no, change it. The flowers is this many. Change it. This flower. And he kept going back to the thing, even though, and it kept track.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, it gave me this whole list and it was like, all it had emojis. It was real cute. And I was like, listen,
I'll be honest with you. Like, you know, I just did the taxes. So it was like, you know, I took the QuickBooks spreadsheet and I literally threw it in another AI.
Right.
And I was like, filter through this thing and set it up. And it was like, here is your P&L. Do you want me to set it up in a clean way to show your account? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Boom. Came out and I was like, that's great. Now I took it to the accountant. The accountant was like, you know, this is tied in here, or this should be 50%. And I was, so there's tweaks, right? But I'm like, that saved a truckload of time.
It's such a double-edged sword. And this could be a good segue into the next topic that we're going to talk about. Because like on one hand, it could be so helpful in those things, right?
Yeah.
Like making a list, like building a contract, that kind of thing. It could be so helpful. Marketing, like organizing your emails. Like I could see how it could be so helpful. Ethically, it takes a lot of water. And like, there's like some other, there's some other things that like go into like the actual function of it that is
the
like
processing of the,
yeah. So like environmentally and ethically, like it's so hard to like, I don't know. Yeah. But then on the other hand, on a creative level, we have like, I have to like go through. So my book is being sold on Kindle right now. I have to go through every so often and make sure that it is not being used to feed AI.
Oh, interesting.
Because it will literally take my work, and there's a new contract out with Amazon where like I have to opt out of it. I don't get to opt in. I have to opt out. And like they don't tell you this. They do it without telling you.
Interesting.
And so my intellectual
property, like the fine prints down here.
Yes. My intellectual property is being fed into these bots to create creative product that a robot made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is infuriating.
Yeah.
Because like we're not allowed to steal people's work, but we could feed it to the bots. So it's really, it's a double-edged sword because I get it from an assistant standpoint, an efficiency standpoint.
Sure.
I get it in that aspect, but it's being abused creatively. So it's really hard to like be like, yeah, hell yeah, AI, it's great. But on the other hand, I see how it would work, but the intellectual property element of it, which is kind of the next thing that we're going to talk about, can get really hairy.
Yeah.
And as a creative person, as somebody who has creative work out in the world that is digitized and very easy to access,
that is interesting.
It's scary, And it's frustrating because I should be getting compensated for it. And instead,
yeah,
it's feeding the robot.
Sure.
So, I don't know. But
the next one.
Yes. So that does feed into the intellectual property concept of like licensing artwork. So like, because I, a lot of the artwork that we use, I will purchase. And then I will kind of tear it apart and re-piece it back together into an original piece. But I'm only doing that with artwork that says I'm allowed to do that, if that makes sense. So if you, when you're purchasing art to use for another purpose, there's like a licensing agreement. You have to have like a commercial license.
Well, there's like two different ways you can purchase it. You can purchase it just for your own personal use or...
Yes.
Are you going to use this for commercial use?
Always have to check if it's... Yeah. Is this personal use? Is this a personal use digitized project or is it a commercial use license? And sometimes you can contact an artist and say, hey, like I want to purchase this.
Yeah.
And sometimes their contracts are very limited. You can only make a certain amount before you have to elevate to the next license. So, or like, I want to work with more authors. So the licensing of their product, it depends on the author. If they're an independent author, sometimes I can go directly to them. Sometimes I have to go to their cover artist. Sometimes I have to go through the publishing house. So it's like a case by case thing of licensing. And then there's other parameters where like I'll buy artwork. And the licensing says you cannot use, like if you're going to reproduce this art, you cannot reproduce it as is. You have to change it.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm allowed to change it. They're telling me to change it.
Gotcha.
So that's what I do. That's actually what I look for when I'm purchasing art.
Sure.
For the inside of the purses, I will look for licensing agreements that tell me to change it.
Sure.
Because I don't want to necessarily, unless I have a personal agreement with that artist, like Kathleen Arthur or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to just take some art and then throw it on a purse and then call it an original piece. I want to make something that hasn't existed before.
Yeah.
So I'm like a huge collage artist. Like that's my preferred art medium. Yeah. So like I will take...
Well, that magic art collection is what comes to mind.
Yeah. And that combines multiple artists together.
Oh, okay.
So I purchased art from multiple artists and then rip the art apart.
Yeah.
And then I put it back together into like my own little...
Well, it's super popular the way that I think you put it together. But that's kind of what you were talking about is...
Yes.
Getting all these separate ones and putting it all together.
And then there's the just general rule of changing 10%, which on one hand... On the other hand, really frustrating.
Yeah.
As an artist, that's really frustrating that someone could just take something that I've made, change 10% and call it theirs. And I was just talking to Seth and Amber from Navarette Leather about this because Seth is like an artist and he draws all the artwork they do and then they'll tool it onto the leather. And his artwork is absolutely gorgeous. And it's all original. He draws it from his brain. But people will take it and they change 10%.
Gotcha.
And it's super frustrating.
So this, you know, you're talking about kind of the licensing and stuff like that, Mars. Well, then you get into copyright stuff.
Yes.
And so there is a purse that we are getting ready to make that deals with Disney. So I want to be very careful in case the overlords actually start watching our podcast, right?
You're coming out of the vault.
Because our podcast is the best. Better than the best.
Oh my God.
Stay tuned for that. Anyway, Disney license or they copyright the characters as they've gone along. But in the US law is that copyrights are only good for 95 years.
Right.
So we are now coming up on Disney's 95 years of existence. So the one that they had was Steamboat Willie.
Yeah.
And that one actually is now past the 95 years. So the way that the law is right now, I did all this research on it, you know, because we had someone asking about it.
You have to be very careful with Disney.
Yes, you have to be careful. And this is how the rule states is that they were like, the Steamboat Willie, specifically the characters there, that is what's copyrighted for 95 years. And we're past that mark. So it is now entered what they call open domain. Mm-hmm. So now what happens is that we can sell and we can build a timber tote that has Steamboat Willie. However,
it has to be very specific.
It has to be that Mickey.
Yes.
It can't be the newer variations right. of Mickey or any of the other Mickey characters.
From that year.
Or the Minnie. You know, it has to be of that specific time period. Because even that evolved a little bit over the mm-hmm. years. So I'm interested in seeing how that evolves over the next few years, because the next one is like Snow White comes up in the year like
2036
or something. No, it's even sooner than that. Mm. Yeah, it's coming up pretty quick, okay. like 2030. And then after that, then all these next ones start coming up. So I'm wondering if like Disney's like, oh my gosh, we're going to start getting all of these characters are all open domain. People just be able to start doing our stuff and we can't actually go after them, even though we'd like to.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there may be a petition to change the rules to like say like you have first right of refusal. So after the 95 years, then do you want to renew it for another 95? And if you don't, then it's open domain versus just naturally.
Right.
So I can see the rules changing, but as it is sits right now, we can do the Steamboat Willie Disney
and
one.
It's crazy,
and it's totally legal.
Like a monster as big as Disney like is still subject to this. Like,
yeah. Yeah, totally. For the time being.
Yeah, for now.
You know,
we'll
until they get a
we'll
certain, I don't know. Politics yeah. are super fun.
By the way.
That we don't talk about here, but I'm just saying I can see it evolving in the future.
An actual license with Disney is a dream come true. So.
I think that would happen.
Just throwing that out there into the ether.
If we got on Shark Tank, I'm telling you, that would be like, what do you want in exchange for this money? Yeah. We need
Disney?
Someone who can deal with licensing.
NHL.
You and your hockey players, you know. That's so exciting. Yeah, but then it's like, geez, I mean, Star Wars stuff. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's
I mean,
the Timbertoot has a platform of literally anything.
Yeah.
So that's what we're excited about.
Yeah. So it's fun. I guess just really doing the research and making sure that like what you're doing is okay. You're not stealing anything. Like, you got to be really careful. If in a creative field, you just got to be really careful you're not stealing anything.
Yeah.
Even if it's on accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Protect yourself. Protect others. We got to be here for each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh, tequila makes me touchy-feely.
There you go. I know, we're almost there. So.
We got to take care of each other.
Jameson had a birthday.
God,
happy
did.
Birthday, little guy. How fun is that?
He's six.
Man.
He got so many Legos.
Legos.
There's so many Legos.
Those are the best.
I thought I had a lot of Legos in my house. There's more. Oh my God.
Is there a specific Lego thing? Is it?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
But he's not like that car guy or is it a movie theme or anything along those lines? Mm-mm. Okay.
I mean, he leans towards dinosaurs because it's also another interest of his. So.
Okay.
There's a lot of that Jurassic Park Legos out right now.
Makes sense.
So he's collecting those. Minecraft. The Minecraft Legos. He's got like a whole setup right now. And then I took him to the Lego, like the bricks and minifigs.
Oh, perfect.
And he got like the whole like characters from Minecraft. He got like six of them.
Yeah.
One of them is called a Mooshroom. It's a cow that's also a mushroom. It's called a mooshroom.
Never heard of this.
I thought that was clever.
That's fun.
And then we went to Peter Piper and he had a blast there. And then we went over to Lloyd's house the next day and did some fire pit and did a cake.
Now is, we've talked about this, Legoland in the future.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I couldn't swing it right now. There's just too much going on and like.
Now, would you do it for a birthday or are you just going to do this thing for like a vacation?
At this point, I'm just going to do it. Just
for like a vacation. Just be like, hey, we're going.
Like, why not?
We took the boys to Legoland. In Blast. When they were, I think they were just a little bit older than what he is now.
Yeah.
But that was a good theme park.
Yeah.
For a younger kid.
I think so.
Because Legos are very much into his world, you know.
Yeah.
The rides are not crazy like Six Flags, you know. It's not super big like Disneyland.
We had talked about Disneyland. And I think my mom took me to Disney. I was four the first time I went to Disneyland. I don't remember it at all.
Yeah.
That was definitely more for my mom and dad than it was for me.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I get that as a parent. I get that. Especially as I'm a Disney adult. So like I 100% get it.
100%.
Give me an excuse to go to Disneyland. But
let's go check out the licensing stuff. Let's go.
So oh my God, when Disney and Kate Spade I was in heaven.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. I was in heaven. Anyway.
That's good to know, because if Kate Spade ends up wanting to buy up the Timber Toe, we'll be like, only if we can get some Disney.
Yeah, we need Timber Disney. Toes. Anyway, so, but knowing my child, I think Disneyland would be very overstimulating, and I don't think anyone would have fun. I think he needs to be significantly older to take him to Disneyland and for him to enjoy it. And he's also a little bit of a daredevil, so he would want to go on the big rides.
And he's short. He's too small right now. Really, still. At this point.
He's almost there, honestly. Yeah. I just measured him for football, and he's 47 inches tall. And I think you have to be 48 or 52.
I would say that would be one of the biggest disappointments is to take him there, especially with him being a daredevil. And then they're like, sorry, kid.
Yeah.
What?
And I'm always telling him how tall he is. And so then they're like, oh, you're not tall enough.
Oh, who is it? It's Blake.
Answer it.
Should I?
Yeah. Answer it.
Blake. Hey, you're on the podcast. We're recording right now.
Sup?
Sup? We're talking about the difference between Jameson and you.
Literally right now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that it?
Good talk. All right.
I love Jameson. What do you need, dude?
I was going to ask you about what the plan for dinner was.
Perfect. Actually, I got invited to a happy hour, so I need you and your brother to just do your own thing. Avery wants to go to Raising Cane's, so call him.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Dude.
That was perfect.
I'm telling you. That is how conversations go when you have like a 17-year-old almost versus 6-year-old.
I love it.
Yeah.
Jameson would have told a fart joke.
Oh, yeah. He's more like, what's for dinner? I'm like, you're always eating.
Jameson would have made weird noises and then told a fart joke.
Yeah.
He would have called me a poopy head.
Yeah, he wouldn't have been like, podcast what? Yeah. I don't care.
But anyway, so Disneyland would be a little too overstimulating. Yeah. So Legoland feels good because it's a little smaller. It's a little less crazy.
Yeah.
Even Universal Studios might be kind of fun.
That could be. Yeah.
But he really wants to go on the Jurassic Park ride at Universal Studios, which I don't think he's tall enough for yet.
Yeah.
But he's been watching videos about it.
Bro, I went on that one when we went to Universal Studios. Uh-huh. And I got... So we did the single rider. Oh. So first off, because my kids are older, they don't care about sitting together. And we don't have to sit together. So we're like, hey, we can do the single rider on Jurassic Park. And we're like, walk right up. And they're like, that's fine. Like, if we make it on the same ride, that's great. If we sit next to each other, if not, no big deal. So we get in there and it was like me. And then Avery was right behind me in the boat. It comes down the water. Splash. I am head to toe drenched. And he's dry as a bone. We get off this thing and everyone on the boat's like laughing at me. They're like, I was so cold.
Oh my God. Worst. Yeah. I just don't think he's tall enough yet.
Yeah.
For a lot of that.
Yeah.
But Legoland would be fine.
Yeah. I think that's a great one though.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a very energetic, hyper child. And he runs away. So.
You're going to be the mom with the link.
So he's my Velcro baby that runs away. Make it make sense. I don't know. That's funny. But so I never understood the leashes until he started walking. And I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
This child runs away.
Yeah.
And he's fast.
Yeah.
He's fast. So.
All right. Do we want to play that game?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Do you need to say anything about your kids? Other than we just talked to Blake.
Other than I just talked to Blake.
And he's on spring break.
Yeah, dude. They're just like, whatever.
He got to be on in his pajamas
already. Yeah.
How's the car?
Avery's getting ready to switch out the old lady with, he's calling it Violet. That's going to be the new car.
Scarlet and Violet.
Scarlet is his Mustang that he bought on his own. And then he got a hold of this old lady, we call it. Yeah. It's a 2006 Malibu.
Yeah.
I don't know. This thing has been beat to hell. And he got it for like, it's a long story, but he got it for like cheap, didn't run. He got it running, got it licensed, got it registered. But a buddy from work needs a reliable car, but he's got this like motor swapped Camaro with a Corvette motor or something like that. But it's not reliable. So Avery's like, well, what if I switch you the old lady for this? At least then you got a reliable car, even though it's like a rough car, but it's going to get him to work. And he's like, let's do it. So supposedly this week, they're going to do the old switcheroo.
Just trading cards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, straight up. for one project to
a
the next.
A whole vehicle, just trading it. Okay.
A whole vehicle. So yeah, these are.
Are you gonna get the Lyft?
No. Oh. No, we're not gonna do that. That's fine. Yeah, we got this agreement. So
okay,
we'll see. Postpone, because on the next podcast, we'll Violet should be in our front yard at that point.
Fine.
Yeah.
I feel for Marielle, like having all these like guys around her with their like guy projects, that, like, because I mean, like the woodworking takes up a lot of space, brings in a lot of dust, and then the cars takes up a lot of space.
There's a lot of grease, a lot of brings gas. Yeah.
I'm like, Marielle, you're a saint.
Yeah. Well, she wouldn't have it any other way, but sometimes she's like, bro. It's like me and Shelby.
Yeah.
She's like our cat.
Yeah.
Is the only girls around here, and she's worthless.
You talk about a lot how like you like only grew up around guys. Like you've never had to like
boy cousins?
Yeah. You've brothers? Never had to like have like any sort of like feminine thing growing up at all.
No.
And now your poor wife is like just surrounded by men all the time.
Yes. And then on the flip side, I come to like work and it's you and Scarlett, and I'm like, this is not, I'm not comfortable about what's happening.
We are very open about like
or just
what time of the month it is.
Just like natural, you know, cycle. And I'm just like, this is
Scarlett
weird.
Comes in crying one day. Like, I don't You're know. Like, what is going on? I'm
like, it is what it is.
It doesn't help that like Scarlett and I are very like honestly traumatized people, and we don't cope with our emotions well, and so they just kind of come out the way they come out sometimes. And so like, oh, you poor people. All right, anyway, all right, let's play our game. Speaking of trauma, let's play our
game. All right, so what's the name of the game?
Okay, this is connect the letters. I did find this on TikTok.
It looked fun when other people do it.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this, last one we did where it was like, what'd you say? Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
That was
I don't know what y'all
got did. So mad. and I did it to myself. I gave you a quote that like, why like, would you know that?
How? Why would I? When all else...
Speaking of you being raised by men, why would you know that quote? Why would you even think that way?
Yeah.
And I got so frustrated. I was watching it back, like, you know, watching, like when they sent it to us, I was watching it back and I was like, this is so frustrating.
And then it's like, James, you cut it. It's like back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
No, the editing
and then you're like,
so good.
God damn it. I'm like, well, I got that. All right. So connect the letters.
Yeah.
How does this game play?
So what happens is we each shout out a letter.
Okay.
And then, let's say you are the starting letter. I'm the ending letter.
Yeah.
So we have that rule established.
Okay.
Okay. So then we have to come up with a word and shout out a word.
And we don't know. The letter
correct
that the other person's gonna do.
So we're not keeping score. However, bonus points if we say the same word.
That'd be fun.
So I think the way you're supposed to play is like whoever shouts out a word first gets a point.
Yeah.
So like
I'm
if
sure
you
it's
say
something like that,
but... you do like C and I say P and I'm like coop, I get a point.
Oh, that's a good one.
So
I said cup.
So Scarlett brought up the chicken purse today and it's like in my mind. So we connect the letters and we try to say a word.
So
bonus points if we say the same word.
Okay, perfect. And so because I'm going first, right? Because if we're looking at it this way, then James can put the letters up there.
No, we say the letters at the same time.
Oh, then well, okay. Then how will I know?
The rule is.
Then whoever yells louder.
No. The rule, like we just established a rule.
Okay.
Your letter is the first letter of the word. My letter is
the
last letter of the word.
Okay.
That's the rule. That's the only rule.
Got it. But we'll say the letters at the same time and then we got to come up with a word. Okay.
Yeah. So, and we gotta be careful.
And then who's gonna count down?
We gotta be careful. Cause.
Yes, I know. James is gonna have his hand on the like buzzer.
Yeah. You gotta bleep.
We're gonna be like, son of a.
No, cause I'm a spicy author and you are you. So the words we might come up with.
You are you. All right.
All right.
So who's gonna count down? You're gonna count down?
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
W. J. Oh, G. What? Why would you put J at the end?
J is not at the end of a word. There's not a single word that ends with a J. Why did I do that?
Because you're drinking
tequila. That was practice. Okay.
Is there any word that starts with J?
That ends with J?
Or ends with J?
Not in English.
James is going to like search
the
depths of the like.
I don't think there's an English word that ends with J.
Oh, you know what we could do? ChatGPT could probably come up with a word.
Maybe.
All right.
English is the language I speak, and I don't think there's one in the English language. All right. If there is, let me know.
Well, that was a flop. We're
not
doing so hard.
That was practice.
Okay. All right.
All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
C.
I.
What'd you say?
I. Capri.
Oh, that's good. All right.
Capri is my favorite song written by Kobe Calais.
Oh, okay.
It's beautiful. If yeah. I had a girl, I wanted to name her Capri because of that song.
Dude, I don't like where you're going with this game.
Why?
You're going to be like, Q. I'm like, what words end with Q?
Why am I picking the worst letters?
You're picking like the...
Okay, all right, here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, M.
Z. Zoom.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. 1, 2, 3.
D.
Dip.
Oh, we were close.
We were close. That was close. Okay. All right. I forgot the whole alphabet. 1, 2, 3. B.
F.
Fab.
Fab.
Hey! All right. It's like kind of an abbreviation of a word. But, yeah. You know.
Fabulous.
Yeah. All right. 1, 2, 3. R.
T. Timber Toad. Oh, no, that isn't it. Oh, I was so clever. I thought I was being clever, too. Tiger. I'm so stupid. I wasn't even saying.
You didn't
like,
let me get the letter out.
Oh, I was like, I'm going to say T.
You were going to say Timber Toad no matter what I said.
I was thinking Timber. So stupid.
Oh, yeah. Timber would have worked.
We even said we're like the games where we yell at each other the best.
Okay, all right. I forgot what letters I've said already.
Doesn't matter.
1, 2, 3, F.
I.
If.
That's so simple.
Okay, how many more? How many more times are we gonna do this?
Go a couple more.
Okay.
Let's see if we can nail it again. Okay, let's focus, right?
All right.
We did it once. We reached perfection.
Get it together.
So we can do it again.
Oh, this perfection thing. Oh, my God.
I'm telling you.
No.
If we've done it,
okay.
We should be able to do it every single time.
That's not real.
We're able to do it.
No. The reason perfection is so exciting is because you don't do it all the time.
Yeah. I think.
You are going to hurt yourself.
If you're able to do it, you should be able to do it
no,
again.
No, that is how people go insane. This is the competitive, not competitive. I just hope both teams have fun.
Yeah, yeah. Trophies
unless
for
you're
everyone.
The Panthers. Anyway, okay. Ready?
No. Okay, yeah.
All right. 1, 2, 3,
P.
L. Pill.
Okay, that's good.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
C.
Q. You said I was going to say Q.
Why did you do that?
I don't know.
I told you not to do that. I told you not to do that.
What? There's not a single word that ends with Q. I'm panicked.
Panicked. I don't know what to do. You're like exclamation point.
Semicolon. M dash. Speaking of AI. Oh my God.
Okay.
Do you know about that?
No.
So authors are getting canceled because of M dash usage because they're trying to say that M dash is AI.
What do you mean M dash?
So an M dash is a piece of punctuation that you use to emphasize the second half of a sentence or like put it as an afterthought without having to use a comma.
So is it M dash a thing? That's what it's called.
Yeah, it's a dash.
But it's a like longer, a hyphen?
No, it's longer than a hyphen.
Oh my God.
So okay. So but what it does is in a sentence, it breaks up the sentence to make the second half a little more emphasized as an afterthought without using a comma and without having to use ellipses. Ellipses are a little too dramatic. A comma is not dramatic enough, so you use the M dash. So
James is gonna like put a picture of me and I'm just like, what? And you're like going into this like definition. I'm just over here like, what?
So like authors are being called out for using AI for having M dashes in their writing. I use M dashes all the freaking time. Okay. So like, and I'm a human.
Can
a
you give me
person.
An example of like when an M dash would be used appropriately?
Not off the top of my head. I don't know.
It sounds like you're putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. And you call it an M dash.
I'm gonna show you and we will make a piece of content to post on the Instagram of me showing you an M dash in proper use because I have been drinking tequila and I cannot think of it off the top of my head. Okay. Maybe because I'm not
fair enough. There you go. Right. Follow anyway. Us along.
Anyway, okay, that was a tangent. Holy squirrel.
Yeah.
Okay.
From a word that ends with Q.
Yeah.
All right. We got one more?
Yeah, one more. Make it good. I'm stressed. Okay.
Okay, ready?
If your mind is going where I think it's going.
I don't know where.
Okay.
I don't. Come on now. Ready?
Right, yeah. One, two, three.
T.
Tick.
Tick.
That was anticlimactic.
It really was. Should we ramp this thing up?
Yeah.
All right. Come on.
All right. One, two, three. D.
S. Sad. Yay! Yes.
All right.
We're going out on that.
That was a good end. That was a good end. Shit.
Oh my God, it really is though. I'm telling you. What was the other time when we did it when there was another game.
What am I thinking? Or what was the word like where you have to like come up with the same word?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But and you hit it, you're like, that actually is fun.
Yeah.
To nail it.
It was painful watching you and Scarlett play that game.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh my God. The worst part was that I knew what both of you were thinking. Like I could pick up on both of your work. I don't know.
I know.
I don't know.
A couple of ADD people playing there. Weird intuition all thing. All right. Cool. So
what's next?
What anything else? Next? Any other reason why we need to call an attorney? I mean, recapping. I mean, really this, we were just talking about, you know, just the reasons that we involve legality stuff.
Always good to have.
On the entrepreneurship side.
Someone who knows something in your back pocket.
Yeah, you know, and just things to think about as you're getting into entrepreneurship.
Especially in creative fields.
Yeah, you know, or just how to leverage, I think, what's possible. And understanding, I think, like even that thing we were talking about with the Disney and the Steamboat Willie, it's like understanding gives you that possibility to do it, where some people are just so afraid of Disney that they're not even willing to do it. And we're like, actually, we can do this specific thing.
Right.
And people are like, oh, shoot, well, then sign me up.
Yeah.
We're like, sweet. Yeah. So we... Sold
well, and
one.
Like the other thing is, like the big fish really aren't that hard to catch. You know what I mean? Like as far
really?
As yeah, as far as like because I keep
I
talking
like
about
the sassy side.
Because I keep talking about like wanting a license with Disney, and like I guarantee you, it's not as hard.
It's expensive.
Yeah, but you know, money comes from somewhere.
That's true.
Like, you know, if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. And
that's true.
There's a way to do it. So. I guess not to let yourself get intimidated. But the other thing...
That is true. Like, let me lean onto that for a second, because in the finance world too, so many people, when they first get into the business, they're so worried about calling Mr. Big or Mrs. Big because they're like, oh, they're already taken care of. And as I've gone up kind of the chain of success, what I find is that typically some of those big fish, quote unquote, are usually desired. They're like, actually, nobody calls me, you know? And so I think to your point though, is it's like, nobody actually goes after it. So it's like probably a little bit easier than we think.
Yeah. It's like, okay, Loungefy did it. Like it's hard.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And then I think the other takeaway is, copycat is flattery, but don't let anyone steal from you. And I think the imitation is flattery. And I think
greatest form of flattery.
I think that is a very important thing to remind yourself of. And I think it's something that we've experienced already, even in our little baby 3 years into this.
Yeah,
I think
right.
It is something we've felt a little tiny bit. And it is frustrating. It's a frustrating feeling, but at the end of the day, just the confidence in your product and knowing, like believing in your product.
Yeah.
And knowing that like, even if somebody is kind of piggybacking off of an idea of yours.
Sure. Well, and with New York Fashion Week too, I mean, that's just going to put us more in the spotlight too, I think, to be like, hey,
it's going to happen.
They're doing something, so why can't we do it? So I think we're just ready for it. And we're just like, hey, you know what? We explore all these things and I think we're heading in the right direction. We got the right mindset. We thought through this stuff.
Just
so
dust your shoulders off and carry on.
Absolutely.
Okay. And Perfect. Have an attorney in your back pocket.
That's always helpful. All right, well, that does it for this episode. You know, if you guys are watching on the YouTube, go ahead and if you smash that like button, you know, do the subscribe, do all those things to help us grow the channel, that'd be great. But it's also nice to see if you can make some comments, because then you can let us know what are some of the things that you like. You know, is some of this stuff that we're talking about something that's of interest, or would you like something else? The other thing is, if you go to the website, zerodayssince.com, there's a little spot where you can click on, scroll down towards the bottom, and you can actually give us a little bit of your story. So we'd love to hear what your Zero Day Since story is. And who knows, maybe we'll read it on the podcast. But you can follow us along a little bit more behind the scenes kind of stuff on our Instagram at Zero Day Since. And then stay tuned for our next episode, where we're going to call it Zero Days Since We Were Bingeable, because this is episode 10. So we thought we'd celebrate now that we feel like we're bingeable.
Yeah, there's 11 hours of content, guys.
How about that? You know, awesome. All right. Well, that does it for us. And we will see you on the next one.
All right. Yay. Bye.
Bye.